The following recording was produced by the Queechy Church in Queechy, Vermont. For more information on the church, its activities, and resources, please visit us online at www.queechychurch.org.
Passage today from God's Word comes from John 21, verses 15 to 25. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of God, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to them, "Feed my lambs." He said to them a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had also leaned back against him during supper, and he had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that the disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did, where every one of them was to be written. I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Praise God.
Thank you, Carl. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this day, the opportunity to hear from your word. God, I pray that that indeed would be the case, that we would all distraction would be blown away by your Spirit working in us. Lord, that all unrest would find rest in you, all suffering would find hope in you, and Lord, I just pray that we would continue to come to you this morning and be filled as we go and tell people about you. Lord, I thank you for the message today, and I just pray that I'd get out of the way and you'd shine. May you shine through your word. We love you, Jesus, and it's why we come to praise you. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It is wonderful to be here. As has been said, my name is Joshua de Pasacrita. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm a resident with Christ Redeemer Church, and one of the things I get to do through Christ Redeemer Church is actually I'm in charge of coordinating the summer celebration camp this summer, and you'll be excited to know that this past week we finally confirmed a location for that camp. The dates for that camp is July 11th through 14th, and it's for ages. We will have childcare for some people, and then it's ages preschool all the way through fifth grade for kids. And then if you're above that and you're a teen or an adult and you want to volunteer, let me know, because we need lots of volunteers as well. We're expecting somewhere between 60 and 100 kids, so should be pretty exciting. But we finally confirmed a location. We will be at the Providence Presbyterian Church in West Lebanon, which is very exciting. That's like a few blocks away from the Willman's house, if you're familiar where that is. So that's exciting. I got excited about that this week, so I had to share it with somebody. So as we come to our text today, this morning in John chapter 21, the question that really comes to mind is, do you want to follow Jesus? Do you want to follow Jesus? It's something to think about. Even if you've been coming to church for forever, or if this is your first time, or you're here after a few times, do you want to follow Jesus? Many of us will have that have the response to that question be, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. And that's probably why we're here this morning at church, to come and follow Jesus, to praise him, to join in fellowship of following him together. Now, if you've been here for the past few weeks since Easter, you've heard the accounts of Jesus' resurrection, that Jesus is alive. His disciples have been seeing Jesus and then having faith in response to his appearing. And so those are some people who want to follow Jesus. Now, if you're here this morning and you want to follow Jesus, or if really you're not sure whether the Christian thing is for you or not, this text makes it very clear that to follow Jesus, you must be undone by what the Lord has done for you. To follow Jesus, you must be undone by what the Lord has done for you. Okay, so I want to follow Jesus. What do you mean by that? What must be undone? What does that undoing look like? And then how does that change how I follow Jesus? While we may have the motivation to follow Jesus, we will only ever follow ourselves until we meet the undoing power of God. Let's step into the very last part of the Gospel of John's story to find a man told to follow Jesus who can't seem to keep it together. Let's read verse 15. It says, in just the very beginning part of it, it says, when they had finished breakfast. Breakfast. The setting of a man's undoing. Now, this is the epilogue of John. In other words, John has already ended his story in the end of chapter 20. But he goes on because he adds this section at the end because there's some things that he wants to clarify and conclude in his story. John felt that there were some loose ends that needed to be tied up in his story. And the biggest one of those loose ends is Peter. Isn't Peter the rock of the church that Jesus builds the church on? Isn't he the leader of the apostles, the first preacher at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? Isn't he the super of the apostles? Well, it's interesting because most of the gospels, Peter is portrayed very human, very approachable. And in John specifically, his betrayal of Peter is just the same, very human. In John chapter 1, we see a Peter who's very willing. He's very willing. He's brought to Jesus by his brother Andrew in John chapter 1. And Jesus sees him and immediately identifies him as Simon, son of John. That was his name, Simon, son of John, before Jesus called him Peter in John chapter 1. And Peter means rock. As soon as Jesus sees Simon, son of John, he calls him Peter. And then Peter seems to be, from this, to be immediately all in. He's immediately the one in John chapter 6, later in the gospel. This is the next time John mentions him. In John chapter 6, when people are leaving Jesus, the disciples, some of his disciples are leaving, he turns to the 12 and says, what about you? Are you going to leave me too? And Peter is the one who says in John 6, 68 to 69, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So Peter's got faith. He's so willing. He's in. He's there. And he's all in for this commitment to following Jesus. But the next time we see Peter mentioned in the Gospel of John is at the Last Supper. And it's here where Peter's character starts to go downhill. We see that Peter is also overzealous. When Jesus comes up to him while he's washing the disciples' feet, Peter says, well, you need to wash all of me. And then later in this supper, Jesus says, one of you will betray me, and Peter insists, I must know who it is going to be. So he asks John, ask the Lord. He never actually finds out. And then Jesus later says, all of you are going to leave me. And Peter says, even if they all leave, I will never leave you. I will even die for you. And then later, when they go to the garden and Jesus is being arrested, Peter thinks this is the moment. This is the moment for him to strike. And he cuts off a servant's ear with his sword. Every single time that Peter does these things, he is admonished and warned by Jesus. Every time. He says, if I don't wash your feet, you have no portion with me. He says, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. He says, put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup that my Father has given me? This is my plan, Peter. Follow my plan. But Peter has his own ideas in mind every time. He's overzealous. We also see that Peter is shown to be weak and sinful. When Jesus is arrested, Peter follows. He's nearing Jesus. He stops by a charcoal fire. And he's asked 3 questions. Peter, are you following Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus? And Peter denies Jesus 3 times. The next time we see him in the Gospel of John is at the resurrection in John chapter 20. And there we find out that Peter is slow. Peter's faith isn't so vibrant as it was when he first met Jesus in John chapter 1 and in John 6. When Peter and John went to the tomb that morning on Resurrection Sunday, Peter was slower than John to get to the tomb. And he was also slower to believe. John believed immediately that Jesus was risen from the dead. Peter didn't quite get there. So he's slow. He's overzealous. He's weak. And then after this, in the resurrection accounts, Jesus then appears to his disciples. And the first time he appears to his disciples, they're supposed to represent all believers who Jesus appears to and we have faith in and are ready to go and are sent and tell the gospel. And the second time that Jesus appears in the Gospel of John, his focus is on Thomas, who represents the people who refuse to believe with him without seeing the evidence of Jesus right in front of them. They serve as an example for those who find it hard to believe because they haven't seen. But Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Now, on the third time, and this is significant in the Gospel of John because in other Gospel accounts, Jesus appears many times, and it says that he's appeared many times to his disciples, but John only points out 3. He likes the number 3. So now here on the third time, Jesus is going to focus on Peter, the disciple who believes wholeheartedly, who's all in for the Lord, says many things about being committed to the Lord, even more so than other people. And yet he's unknowingly weak. And matching his actions to his faith. Peter's overzealous pride and comparison to others must be undone by Jesus. What must be undone in us? What gets in our way, or in your way, of following Jesus? You see, Peter has faith. He has the desire to follow Jesus. He says, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. He doesn't want to be anywhere else. That's not even a thought in his mind. And yet, along the way, he gets distracted by himself. That's called pride. Being distracted by yourself from following Jesus. I encourage you to take a moment to ask God. Just ask the Lord. Pray to him. Ask him to point out one thing that distracts you from complete faith in following him. Is it pride, like Peter? Do you think your plan is better? Do you think you are better? When you mess up, do you come to the Lord for forgiveness immediately? Or do you try to justify yourself first? I know that's me. I often look at life and I think that my plan is better. I should have gone this way, or I think I'm better. My first instinct is often to try to prove that I'm better than my sin, or I'm better than someone else because I messed up a little differently than they did and they're somehow worse. Or what's also pride in me is also thinking that I am the worst, or I'm just a no good sinner. I'm just going to keep messing up. Why do I even come to the Lord? Might as well just sit and pout and wait until someone kicks me in the butt to go to the Lord. Now, I'm very thankful to my wife, and I'm very thankful to the Lord that he has given her to me, because she is a very patient and gracious butt kicker, and I need it. I need it. I very often just sit thinking either I've got this or I'm the worst, and in those moments, I forget whose son I am. Often I know that our tendency can be to just pout like a child. But for us who are ready to grow up and to stop pouting and follow Jesus, we need to be undone. We don't just stop. We need to be kicked in the butt. Undone by somehow by the Lord. There is no way that we would move anywhere unless the Lord undoes our heart, my heart. To have a different focus. Have a different focus other than me. I need Jesus undoing, just like Peter. So here comes this epilogue narrative of John. And in the first half of the John chapter 21, in this epilogue, we see that Jesus performs a miracle. He shows his disciples that he's the one with power. He's the one who controls all things. They go fishing, and they come back and catch 153 fish. That's a lot of fish. Peter is ready to see Jesus again, so ready that when John recognizes it's the Lord, Peter throws himself into the sea after Jesus. Now, when they all get there, Jesus invites them all to come and to have breakfast. Peter follows, nearing Jesus. He stops by a charcoal fire, and now he's asked three questions. In verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now Jesus says, "Simon, son of John." This is identifying Jesus' initial calling of Peter back in John chapter 1. In the other Gospels, you'll see a similar scene in the original calling of the disciples where Jesus makes a miracle of a catch of fish. The miraculous catch is recalled in this scene. Simon, son of John. Jesus is reminding that Peter, you're Peter because of me. You're Peter because I called you Peter, not because of you. Christian, you are a Christian because of Jesus, not because of you. The first step in realizing Jesus' undoing is realizing that everything we are is because of him. He died for our sin. He has risen and is victorious on our behalf. He shows us how to follow him. He is with us daily to help us follow him by showing others who he is. He is the one who convicts us of sin. He forgives us and cleanses us. He is the author of life and eternal life. Without him, we are nothing. So shift your perspective with me. Jesus needs to be our focus. So as you hear Peter interviewed by Jesus in this passage, let Jesus interview you. The first question is, do you love me more than these? Well, these, what's these? What's around Peter right now in this story? What's around Peter, first of all, is 153 fish. Peter, do you love me more than fish? For some of us, that's a pretty easy answer. Yeah. But if we realize what fish might represent, we see that it could refer to material things, such as food or a home or a comfort or really anything earthly or carnal. Jesus is asking Peter, do you love Jesus more than these? What else is around Peter? Well, you see Jesus' other disciples. Jesus' other disciples, people. People around Peter. Do you love me more than people? Do you compare yourself to them, Peter? Do you care more about what they think of you? Do you struggle with people-pleasing more than God-fearing? Do you love me more than people, Peter? What else is around him? Well, he just went fishing. That was his original job. His commitments to these other things. Do you love me more than your commitments or your job? Do you love me more than these things? Do you love me more than these? Now, Peter's response in verse 15 is this. He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Peter's response is, "Well, yeah, of course, I love you. You know that." That might be many of our responses as well. Of course, that's why I came to church this morning. That's why I do these things today. That's why I do anything the Bible says. That's why I follow him. I say that it's more important than my job, than my things, than my family, than everything. You are more important, Jesus. That's why I pastor. I love Jesus. Of course, you know that I love you. Well, Jesus responds in verse 15. He said to him, "Feed my lambs." All right. If you love me, feed or provide for my needy people. Feed or provide for my needy people. Oh, all right. Sounds good, Jesus. I will love you more than these, and I will show mercy to those in need in our church. Excellent. Very good. Thank you for asking the question, Jesus. Consider me undone. I'll go and be a great Christian. Peter's probably feeling great. Then Jesus asks a second question. Verse 16. He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" In Peter's response, he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Peter responding to Jesus here is kind of like, you just said that. You know I do. I imagine some doubt might enter his mind. He just asked that question. Do I love him? Yeah. No, I do. I love him. I love him more than these things. I do. That's why I follow you, Jesus. But then Jesus responds in verse 16, says, he said to him, "Tend my sheep." Okay, the weight of what Jesus is asking is now growing, because the word "tend" means to protect and nurture God's people. There's a lot more involved in protecting and nurturing God's people than there is just simply providing for the needy people. What you're asking is growing in weight, Jesus, but you know that I love you, and I will do it. I will do it because I love you. And then Jesus asks a third time. In verse 17. He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter responds, Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Peter says, "You know my heart's desire. You know that I want to love you, Jesus. You know that I do." And yet, here he is, Peter, nearing Jesus at a charcoal fire. He's being asked three questions about his relationship to Jesus. It's so similar for Peter to when he just denied Jesus three times. Peter here is grieved. He's grieved and confronted by himself. And that is where the undoing of the heart begins. You see, Jesus responds in verses 17 to 19. Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." In other words, provide sustenance for my people. "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This is to show what kind of death that he was to glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." Jesus says, in essence, to Peter, "Peter, you used to do whatever you wanted. You used to do whatever you wanted. You dress yourself and go wherever you wanted to go. But I've called you to follow me. To follow me, you are going to need to do things that you don't want to do. Even suffer a lot of hardships and die for me. Can you do that, Peter?" Can you do that, Christian? That may not be your call exactly. But can you do that? Jesus here is addressing the desire in our hearts to follow him. The desire that we want to follow him, but it's combined with the desire for our hearts to find our own way. To be committed to following ourselves. Maybe our own way that doesn't involve so much suffering. Unless it's suffering for something that I really want. Then maybe I'll go through a little suffering. You see, Jesus is saying to Peter, "Peter, Peter, what you want doesn't matter anymore. I just died for your failures. I just rose again victoriously on your behalf to give you the victory over sin, over failure, over death. You've been raised with me for that victory. I will renew you, and I ask you to follow me. Follow me by telling others about me. I did these things for you. Follow me." Christian, do you know that now that you've been raised with Christ, or if you become a Christian, that you have died to your sin and been raised with Christ with him? That means you have new life. And that means that Jesus is all that matters. No longer do we need to worry about what we want. You see, the undoing of our hearts here happens when the plainness of our sin, that we can't do this without him, meets the abundance of his grace. Every sin that we have convicts us is a mercy. It's a mercy from the Lord to say, "Hey, follow me." There too. There too. He does it one at a time. Because if we couldn't handle him telling us all at once. Every sin that the Lord convicts us of is another opportunity to surrender to the Lord and his undoing of our hearts. This conviction is a mercy, not a condemnation. It's not saying, "How dare you?" It's saying, "Come to me, follow me." He says, "Come, follow me. I'm worth every bit of pain in this life. I'm worth every sacrifice. Everything you leave behind, come, follow me." Now, what's Peter's response to the undoing of his heart? Well, in verse 20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. The one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Peter's response, "What about that guy?" Jesus says to him, "You get to die for me." And Peter's like, "Sounds good. Actually, it sounds hard and unfair. What about him? Does he get to die and not do what he wants?" Ah, Peter. Still being a pouty child. Just like us. often when the Lord asks us what to do, something hard, and we don't want to do it. That's our response. What about him? What about her? Their life seems better. What about them? But Jesus responds in verse 22. It's a very stern admonition and warning. Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Josh, why do you deflect the calling of God and his conviction on you so much? Let the Lord worry about everyone else's calling. You follow me. Insert your name here. If that Christian or that pastor or that guy over there seems to have a better life than you, it's not unfair. That's for me to worry about, says the Lord. When God asks you to do something, when God asks me to do something, he didn't say it would be fair. He asks us to obey and to trust him. He's got a plan. And if our focus is on Jesus, if we let God undo our hearts continually, realizing we need him, everything we are is because of him, it will all seem worthwhile to give up our own desires and follow him. Because who could be more desirable than the Lord? What could be more desirable than being in eternity with him? That's where God's undoing comes in. Peter here is grieved by Jesus' conviction of him. But it's not that he's immediately changed. He says right after that, "What about that guy?" After being grieved and convicted of his sin, I know I can do that so often where the Lord is like, "Yeah, here's your sin in your life." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that is bad. Lord, forgive me and help me to repent." But what about that guy? You know, like immediately after, it's like, did you not get what I just taught you? Because Paul later in the church is going to confront Peter face, like to his face, saying, "Peter, you're people pleasing towards the Jewish people and you're neglecting the Gentiles," which is what he was doing. Peter doesn't get it immediately, but that's because God's undoing is a continual process. There is hope for the pouty sinner who thinks that he's stuck in unchanging habits. First, realize that everything that you are is because of Jesus. Second, be convicted of your sin and your failure and come to Jesus for renewal and repentance, who offers all of these things for free based on him already paying that penalty on the cross. And then third, set your eyes on Jesus. And don't worry about the fairness of your call compared to others. Worry about following him. And then fourth, keep coming to Jesus to undo you. It's a continual process of humbling and a continual process of getting out of the way. Pursue the Lord, make him your focus, and he will make it clear how you are to follow him. You see, when you are undone before the Lord, in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah is called to follow the Lord, he says, "Woe, I am a man undone, a man of unclean lips." When you are undone, your calling should be clearer because you are less and less and less getting in the way of seeing Jesus. So what has God called you to do? What's he asked you to do? If you're not a Christian and you want to be a Christian and follower of Jesus, he's asked you to come to him. Repent of your sins and turn and ask for forgiveness. Give up of your own desires and follow him. It's worth it. Every joy and every pleasure that is eternal is at his right hand. That's in Psalm 16. Now, in general, if you are a Christian and you've become a Christian, in general, the Bible calls every Christian to make disciples. That's a call for every Christian, everyone in this room. Tell people what Jesus says in his word, and then to live like him. That's the general call for all of us. So how are we following that? Well, specifically, he calls us as individuals to use the skills and spiritual gifts that he has given us to make disciples. So how has he skilled and gifted you? And how are you using those things for the Lord? It can be as simple, just if you're a very warm and encouraging personality, be a greeter, or et cetera. The opportunities are endless. They don't have to be going overseas and dying for him unless the Lord puts that on your heart right now, that's for you to do. Whatever it is, let the Lord undo you. He will make it more clear. Keep asking him. He'll make it clear. Have you asked him recently? God, how should I follow you? If you're confused, just ask. God, how should I follow you? Please undo me. Where should I be making disciples? Please convict me of how I need to live like you so that I can be changed. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Peter eventually gets it. But I'm sure he still had to learn. But he's inspired by the Holy Spirit in sending two letters to the church. If you go to 1 Peter, just read chapter 1. He is very confident of the trials that Jesus sends in order to make firm his faith so that Jesus and God get glory. The glory of God is the focus of our salvation. If you want to grow in being undone by God's holiness and our calling, and you want to see that more clearly, go read Peter's letters. And be encouraged, because Jesus' glory is being accomplished by those who trust and follow him, no matter what the cost, no matter what's in the way. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, Peter himself gives us this encouragement. He says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." That's Peter's encouragement. "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." But seriously though, what about that guy? What about John? Well, John, in verses 23 to 25, ties up one more loose end. He says, "So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that the disciple was not to die, yet So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die, yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die. But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things, and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." So what about that guy? Well, that guy, John, and his faithful witness to the Lord was called to write a letter, to write a book, to write a gospel. And it is his faithful witness to show what kind of faith lasts through trial. That kind of faith comes from having an undoing encounter with Jesus. To follow Jesus, you must be undone by what the Lord has done for you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your undoing power, Lord, that comes to us every single day to come to call us back to you, to call us to follow you, God. When we say, "What about that guy?" I pray, Lord, that we would be convicted to come back to you, follow you, love you, and cling to you. You are our sustenance. The only reason that we exist is because you say that we do. So, Lord, I pray we would give all of our everything back to you, and that we would continue to find grace and hope and peace and love to move forward, to tell people about you, to write down our testimony, to share it, to be baptized, to make disciples, to follow you faithfully. May we encourage one another in our individual callings without worrying one another about other people. God, thank you for this day. May we go and be faithful from here. It's in your name I pray. Amen.